This evening, officially, we will start our lessons on the Kings. This morning, I have something a little bit different for us, but Lord willing, this evening, we'll start with King Solomon and what we can learn this week leading up to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. I've been looking at these lessons. They're great lessons, great material, not only for our young people, but also for us as well, and I hope that we'll have some things to say to help us be better servants in God's sight. If you have the scripture reading still open there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if not, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2, 3, and 4. Back home, we just finished a study of 2 Corinthians, and this and other passages in 2 Corinthians have been on my radar with regard to Paul's use of the word mind. And so this morning, I want us to study from God's word a little bit with regard to thinking like a Christian. Are we taking care of our mind this morning, our thinking? The danger that is posed here in 2 Corinthians 11 is that the brethren at Corinth would have their minds corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. That your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. Paul's not concerned about their body at this point. He's concerned about their mind. And so this morning I want us to talk about thinking like a Christian. Are you thinking, am I thinking as a Christian each and every day that I get up? This morning we're going to do three things. We're going to talk about why we need to be looking at our mind. Number two, how that we go about taking care of our mind. And number three, we're going to close this morning by looking at the practical elements of what it is to be thinking like a Christian. The why, the how, and the what. Sometime between Paul writing 1st and 2nd Corinthians, some false teachers and opponents and those who claim to be apostles came into Corinth and were taking them away from the apostle Paul and the truth. So Paul writes 2 Corinthians to defend his apostleship against these false allegations. And you see there in verse 4 that they had come in and they were preaching another Jesus. You can see in verses 13 and 14 that they were claiming to be apostles, but they're actually false. And what was happening was the devil was using these false teachers to corrupt the minds of these brethren. And so he writes to reel them in and bring them back to the truth of God's word. The world has a mind that is different from us. The world has a thinking that is different. Look at the news. Look at what has happened over the past year. Look at what has happened all across this land with regard to riots and fire and looting and burning and lawlessness. The mind of the world is different. And we need to get up each day and be thinking like a Christian. Last fall, my son-in-law and I got together for a building project for my father-in-law who has some disabilities. We were going to build a ramp in his condo. And because it's a condo with a lot of rules and things, that ramp had to be a certain height and a certain width and a certain depth, and it had to have some parameters to it. And so my son-in-law, who is an engineer, I got with him and said, let's build this ramp for my father-in-law. Now, this was about September of last year when, if any of you went to Lowe's or Home Depot around September of last year, you realized that the wood prices are extremely high. So my son-in-law, who's working on his contractor's license, has got his pad there, his iPad. He's got the whole thing organized. And he's going down through there. I'm thinking like a dad, I'm thinking price. He's thinking like an engineer, what do I need to build this project? Have you ever gone into a situation and you're addressing it based upon your thinking? Some people will approach a situation like a healthcare professional. If we have any nurses here or physicians here, they're thinking like a healthcare professional. They're thinking, is this going to help or hinder the health of a person? If we have any bankers or accountants here this morning, a lot of times you're thinking along the lines of a banker or an accountant. Money in, money out, financial statements and things like that. Some people think like an insurance agent. Some people think like a car salesman. Some people think like a number of different things. We have several soldiers in the congregation because of 101st Airborne, and they're thinking like the military. Anytime I talk with them, they have some acronym. I have no idea what they're saying. Can you provide the glossary of all the acronyms? Their sentences involve acronyms. Well, I'm going to be on a PRA, and then next week I've got a KO9 and all this stuff. They just rattle it off. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're thinking like a soldier. We have to get up each day and think like a Christian. How do we go about doing that? Well, first of all, this morning I want us to talk about why we need to be thinking like a Christian. First of all, frankly, God commands it. You remember the very well-known passage in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 where when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says to love God with all of your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And notice in that passage that Jesus separates the heart from the mind. We need to love God with our heart, meaning our emotions, but our intellect has to be there as well, our reasoning faculties. We have to know why there is a God. We have to know that there is one and why. We have to know the evidence for that and the reason for that. We have to love God with our mind. That means our thoughts and our thinking. It's commanded of us. But another thing that I think of, if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, we need to really watch our thinking. And our young people, pay attention. You need to watch your thinking because I'm here to tell you the world is militant in their unbelief. They're not casual about it. They are militant about it. They will be in your face about their secularism, their humanism, their ungodly beliefs. And you have to have critical thinking. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, talking about these individuals who have engaged in ungodly behavior and causing these grievous times, these terrible times, even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also withstand the truth. Men corrupt in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Notice that these men are corrupt in mind, and the text says that they withstand the truth. We just went through the month of June, which is what? Gay what? Pride month. There's a pride there. There's a militancy there. And we have to have a mind that is strong in the Word of God and know what we think about things, because you will have people that will withstand you and they'll be very forceful about it. Consider the world of social media and how militant and caustic that whole area is. You post something about God and God's Word on Facebook, you'll get blasted. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Another reason why it's important to develop our thinking and our mind is that we have the promise that each and every day we can renew our minds. It's something of a continual process. It's not static or stagnant. And so Paul talks about in Romans 12 and verse 2, the renewing of your mind, or Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. It's something that we can always improve upon. And hopefully this morning we'll talk about a few things that will help us to improve our thinking. It's a continual growing process. It's also something where Jesus, in revealing the New Testament, the New Covenant, you remember Jeremiah 31, how that I will write my law on their hearts and on their minds. Do you know, brethren, that the New Testament is something that not only appeals to our emotions, but it appeals to our intellect, our reasoning. And God's law in the New Testament is to be written on our hearts and on our minds. It's to be something that we read in our Bible and then put it onto our mind. And that's important. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. Brethren, we need to be deep thinkers. Are you a deep thinker? We're going to have to be deeper than a tweet or a text. We're going to have to be deeper than what we might see in some area of social media. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm not opposed to those things, by the way, I'm saying that we have to use our minds to think critically and to take the Word of God and make sure that we are following that and thinking clearly about that and not let the things of social media change us. But Peter uses a word here with regard to mind that is very important. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, "For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind." The word literally is deep thinking, thoughts that go deep, where I sit there and I analyze it and I reason with it, excuse me, and I compare that with what the Word of God says. I don't just, in a surface kind of way, hear something or see something and just run with it. I use my mind to think critically and deeply about it. Is this what God wants me to be doing? Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 that we are to have the mind of Christ. And in chapter 4 verses 7 and 8 that we are to think on these things. So brethren, this morning we need to understand it's important to develop our mind. It's what God wants. But let's answer a second question. How is it that I go about doing that? How do I develop good, critical, Christian thinking? How do I keep myself, like these Corinthians, from having my mind corrupted from the simplicity and purity that is toward Christ? How can I do that? Well, number one, just very easily, I need to know my Bible. I need to know the Scriptures. I need to search the Scriptures. I mentioned in class that our elders encourage daily Bible reading. Young people, read your Bible, please. I beg you. There's time for other things to read. There's time for other things to keep up on, but read your Bible. And we can have Scripture on our phones now. There's just really no reason why that can't be around us every day. I beg you, read your Bible. Know your Bible backward and forward. It's God's Word that keeps our minds from being corrupted. There's just no substitute for knowing the Scriptures. In our home, we reserve every evening after dinner for a short period of time of family Bible reading. We're going through the Minor Prophets right now. Whatever works for you, whatever schedule is best for you, take that time. When I was growing up and we were young, we always read every morning right after breakfast. There was the kitchen table and there was a stack of Bibles, and we would eat breakfast, help Mom clean up, and then sit down and Dad would read some Scripture. Mom and Dad were early morning people. That's when they wanted to do that. And there were times when the bus was coming. I remember one time I was in high school, the bus was coming. Sometimes I drove my car, sometimes I rode a bus, and I hear the bus coming down the road and we hadn't read yet, and I'm getting up, I gotta go get on the bus, and Dad says, "Sit down. We haven't read yet." And I said, "I'm going to miss the bus." And he said, "Well, we'll worry about that later. We'll figure that one out later. You sit down. We're going to read the Word of God." And that was ingrained in me. And so we try in our home today to read the Bible every day. Please know your Bible. And you can make time for that. Here's a second suggestion, and that is, know what's going on in the world around you. These passages that you see on the PowerPoint are passages in the New Testament that talk about individuals in the world with a reprobate mind, Romans 1:28, with a corrupt mind, with a hardened mind, with a vain mind, a mind of vanity and emptiness. And brethren, I'm telling you that that is the same today in our culture as it was in Paul's day. There is empty, humanistic, secularistic thinking from the top down. It's from the top down. It's infiltrated our universities. It's infiltrated positions of power and authority. It's everywhere. And we have to know what's going on so that we are not taken in by that. Be a student of culture. Now, you can do that in a number of ways. You can watch the evening news. You can keep up with what's on the computer or whatever, but know what is going on. Listen to the fallacious arguments that they're making. Observe the tactics that they're using, the carnal tactics, the bullying, the berating, the no opportunity to ask questions. I get to talk, but you don't. Look at their actions and their motives and their carnal ways about them, and understand what's going on, and don't be taken in by that. Be a student of culture to understand the carnal mind, the corrupt mind, so that you don't wake up one day and I don't wake up one day with that same corrupt and reprobate thinking. Let me suggest something else along those same lines. Analyze everything that comes across your path. Analyze it theologically. And what I mean by that is everything should be analyzed from the standpoint of what would God in His Word want me to say or do about this or think about this. Everything should be within that realm. Let me give you a few examples. When something comes up, could be just talking with a friend, work, school, whatever. Does this topic, does the Bible speak to this? I need to ask myself that. I don't just simply need to listen to what's being said. I immediately need to think, what does the Bible say about this? That's a non-negotiable. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's always wrong. If the Bible says it's right, then it's right. It's a non-negotiable. What does God's Word say? And sometimes the Word of God will speak very specifically about something. Sometimes it'll speak more generically or in broader principles, but something in the Word of God will address what is being discussed. And I'm going to think about this, not just in a surface, at the moment kind of way, but I'm going to step back and critically think, what is being said and done here in relationship to all of God's Word? When I was in high school, Dad loved to watch the news. There was two problems. He wanted to eat dinner every night at 5:30, but he also wanted to watch Peter Jennings at 5:30. So we had to kind of juggle that. Anyway, he would often watch these news stories, and he would have a piece of paper. My father was a gospel preacher. He would have this piece of paper, and he'd be writing down something that happened in culture, and then there would be a Bible verse right beside it. This is what the Bible says about what's going on in our world. We always have to be thinking about that and thinking like that. We need to see what the Bible says. Does this issue violate any absolute standards of right and wrong? Young people, listen, I'm hearing more and more of situation ethics. I'm hearing more and more of it. It's resurging. It's coming back. Right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. Okay? That's the way it is. Now, don't let somebody tell you that sometimes wrong is right. Sometimes it's okay to lie. Sometimes it's okay to fornicate. Sometimes that's okay. That's not what the Scripture says. We've got to think like a Christian. And we've got to put everything in the context of the Word of God. And if something is going on, let me strongly, strongly encourage you, especially the younger generations, talk to mom and dad, talk to the elders, Talk to Warren, talk to older godly brethren. How have they handled this issue? How have they dealt with it in their personal lives? And they will help you. But we've got to learn how to develop a mind that is not going to be corrupted by this world around us. So know the scriptures. Be aware of the tactics that are going on in the world around us. Analyze everything within the perspective of God's word. And then adopt a Christian worldview. From the moment I get up till the moment I go to bed at night, everything should be within the worldview of a Christian. Everything. You mean, Chris, small decisions throughout the day? Absolutely. Everything should work within this realm of a worldview that is based upon the Word of God. Well, what is that? Well, just in a basic way, God is. There is a God. And Jesus Christ is not just some Palestinian Judean teacher of the first century. He's the divine Son of God who died on a cross for our sins. And sin is the violation of God's Word. And the Bible contains the revealed Word of God. I believe in God, the presence and the existence of God, that Jesus is the divine Son of God. The Bible is not just some human book. It's the inspired Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. There are proofs for that, by the way. There are proofs for Jesus being the divine Son of God, His resurrection and miracles and other things. There are proofs that God is. For every design, there's a designer. There are proofs for these things, and that's my worldview. And that's how I approach everything. We're made in the image of God. We're not evolved animals. You cram evolution down young people's throats long enough, they're going to start acting like animals. And that's what's going on in our culture. They're acting like animals. But we're made in the image of God. We're made male and female. Genesis 1, 25 and 26. I never thought, Warren, did you ever think, when I started preaching in 1984, I never thought I would have to do sermons that males are males and females are females. Really? Yes, we have to do that today because the corrupt mindset is twisting that and warping that and changing that. The devil always goes for confusion. Always. Do you remember? James 3, 16 and following. The wisdom that is from the world, James says, where there is confusion and every vile deed. Well, is a man a man or is a man a woman? All this going on? That's what the devil wants.
But we're not going to be taken in by that because we think like a Christian. Sin is a violation of God's law. History is not cyclical, like some of the Greeks said. It's linear. We're moving toward a point. And I'm glad that we sang, Sing to Me of Heaven, because there's a judgment day coming. We're moving to that point, whether you want it or not. Well, somebody says, well, I don't want to think like a Christian. Well, you have that choice, but we're all headed to a judgment day. It would be best to start thinking like a Christian right now. It doesn't matter what you think about this or that. We're all headed to that point. You can't stop it. Let's start thinking like a Christian right now. That'd be what would be best for us. This is our world view. This controls everything that we say and do and think throughout the day. We have to adopt that and have that. And we're going to die one day, and there's going to be a judgment day and a destiny. There are two only, heaven or hell, and that's the end of the matter. And all of this is going to control my thinking throughout the day. So how to develop this worldview? And then last of all, let's answer this last question. Let's deal with this last point, and then we will close. How do I know that I'm thinking like a Christian? I need to be doing that because God commands it, and these other things that we looked at. I've just heard how I can do that. I need to be reading my Bible every day and being aware of what's going on in my world around me. But what are the things that I'm actually thinking that show that I'm thinking like a Christian. Well, let's look at what the scripture teaches, and then we will close this morning. These passages of scripture speak of our mind. Number one, I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when I get up each day and I walk after the Spirit. And that's capital S, Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there, verses 5 through 7, he says that we are not to walk after the mind of the flesh. That's what we think and what we feel. We need to walk after the mind of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they, faithful Christians, that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, it leads to sin, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. I'm not going to mind the flesh. I'm going to mind what the Holy Spirit says in the scripture. That gets back to reading and knowing my Bible. How do I know that I'm thinking like a Christian? All of my decisions are determined by the mind of the Spirit. How do I know that I'm thinking like a Christian? Turn with me to Acts 20 and verse 19. When I get up each day and I have a humble attitude, I'm not proud. And humility means that I'm going to submit myself to the law of God. I'm not going to be proud. I'm not going to be arrogant. Paul describes his past ministry in verse 19, serving the Lord with all lowliness of mind. Pride is, we're going to talk about this, I guess, Tuesday night with Nebuchadnezzar. Pride is causing a lot of problems today. I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong, right? I'm not going to listen to your point of view. I'm not going to change. Pride is causing a big problem today. But when I think like a Christian, I think humbly and I submit to the Word of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20. I know that I'm thinking like a Christian when I think maturely. And to think maturely means to think responsibly. One thing that is not being taught in school today is responsibility. Take responsibility for your actions. Your actions have consequences. And when we do something that is not right, there's going to be some negative consequences, and we need to bear the responsibility of that. We need to get back to teaching the three R's. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic. We need to get back to respect, right? Responsibility, and repentance. Get back to teaching that. That'll help ourselves and it'll help our nation. But I'm going to have this attitude of being responsible and doing the mature thing. I'm going to think maturely. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. In malice be babes. In other words, don't have experience with that kind of thing, malice. But what? But in mind be men. I'm going to approach each day with a mature mindset and do the responsible thing. I need to have a mind. Turn with me to Colossians 3, and again, I'm glad that we sang about heaven. All of my choices, all of my decisions are going to be made with a mind that is set on things that are above. Is this going to help me get to heaven? You mean, Chris, just small things at Walmart? And yeah, everything. Ultimately, is it going to help me get to heaven or hinder that? My mind is always going to be set on things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. A mind that is heaven-focused, that lets me know that I'm thinking like a Christian. Turn with me to Titus 2. We used to get in trouble at home. Dad, I would get a spanking or get some sort of punishment for doing foolish things. Foolishness in the scripture literally means to act without a purpose. There's no good purpose in what you're doing, and the book of Proverbs teaches this in other places. And so sometimes myself and my other brothers, there were two girls, six boys, we would be doing things where we were not thinking, our mind was not thinking carefully and critically and soberly. We're just goofing off. So we might be
jumping on the bed and pushing each other. We're not thinking. And someone gets pushed and they cut the back of their head on the corner of the dresser. Well, if we'd been thinking, we wouldn't have done that. Or we're in the house and we're throwing a hard baseball. Well, we're not thinking that that hard baseball just goes through the glass sliding door and breaks it. And then my dad has to pay a lot of money to fix it. I'm not thinking clearly and soberly. And so I know that I'm thinking like a Christian. Titus 2, this word is used more than once, to be sober-minded. I get up each day. I don't just willy-nilly, well, whatever. I think it through. Is this a good choice? What I'm saying and doing, is this going to help? Think it through. Sober-mindedness. A lot of times we would get in trouble for running and throwing and this and that because Dad would say, you're not thinking this through. And sometimes he would deter some very serious consequences, and sometimes he would come in after the fact, after we already hurt the sibling or after we already broke the window or whatever the case was. And he tried to teach us sober-minded thinking. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3 and verse 1. Just a few more and the lesson is yours. We need to think sincerely. This is not hypocritically. I've noticed today, with today's news and different things that are going on, that a lot of leaders and different individuals are acting very hypocritically. We saw that last year during the pandemic and other things. And in the old days, when you pointed out somebody's hypocrisy, that brought a little shame and guilt to them, and they kind of stopped what they were doing. They don't even stop now. You can point out a person's hypocrisy, they don't care. When we think, we need to be thinking, we need to have a mind to stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance. Our mind, our thinking needs to be pure and clear and unclouded and unhypocritical. The word used here meant in the first century Greeks who would hold up a piece of pottery to the sun and let the light shine through to make sure that there were no cracks in this piece of pottery. I don't want to buy something that's cracked. So they would hold it up to the sun and see if there was any cracks. Sincerity, without hypocrisy, fully truthful, fully transparent, that needs to be our thinking. And then last of all, in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 9, John in his revelation talks about the mind who is wise. That is, the reading and application and knowledge of the Word of God. Brethren, I'm going to close this morning by just simply making the point. Your mind matters. I don't know Rogers and Bentonville that well. I'm learning the area. It's a beautiful area. I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. But I'm pretty certain that in this town or nearby, there are some gyms. Are there any gyms where you can go work out? People will go work out their body, but we need to be working out our minds. In the world that we're living in, we need to be thinking like a Christian. And let us be doing that. And maybe this morning, as you're sitting there thinking, you're thinking, I need to repent and be baptized. I've heard Warren and others, maybe my parents have talked about this, but now that I'm really thinking about this carefully and soberly, I need to do that. And so we can help you do that. Or as a child of God, you know, I have not been following the Word of God. I've been sort of playing that, but I'm not sincere. And I want the prayers of the saints. I want to come back. Maybe thinking begins this morning with responding to the Word of God and the invitation. But let's go out today and the rest of this week and think like a Christian. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?